Monday, June 22nd, 2026, Board of Equalization meeting starting at 9. Board of Commissioners meeting will be at 3 p.m. We'll go ahead and start it. Okay, we'll call the Board of Equalization to order with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. We'll do roll call. Marty?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Here.
And we had heard from Brian.
Yep, I make a motion to excuse Brian. He is out of town today.
Second.
All right. Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
And Rogelio, we haven't heard from him.
We haven't heard from him. I did leave him a message, and we'll see how that goes.
Open Meetings Act is not posted. It's not leaning against the back wall.
Actually, you don't have to do that. I think I'm starting
I know.
July.
There is a date where we
July 11th, I think it is.
Anymore. I don't know the date.
All right, so we will start with our protest hearings, and we'll let the assessor's office and Sam go with it.
Good morning. For the record, Sam Ferraro, real estate appraiser and Board of Equalization referee. We only have five for you today that are done. We do have two other referees, so there's three referees in the building right now working. But the first meeting was last Wednesday, so that's why we only have five completed for you right now. But we have about 47 at the moment, just for an update, which is slightly behind last year at the same date. So I checked it, but we'll start with number one. This is 576 South Ridge Drive in South Sioux City, and it is a ranch style house with 2200 square feet. It's got a finished basement, built in 1995. Good looking house, you know, brick front, you know, gables. And yeah, the argument here, he just filled out the protest form. Christy had a recommendation here for, she felt it was unequal to some of the other homes in Southridge. So do you want to go through that?
Yeah, it just seemed high compared to some of the other ones in the sales we have. So I said lower it a little bit.
She adjusted the quality and condition. When we equalized that value, it started out at $520,000. The owner thought it was worth more like $460,000. The recommendation and Christie's, both recommendations are at $476,500 to reduce it to equalize with the area. I mean, it's definitely a nice house, but I don't know if it's $520,000.
Yeah, it just seemed high.
And that $520,000 number was obtained just through going through the formula that you have with everything.
We did cost tables and depreciation tables.
Yeah. I pulled, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sales, and I did not think it would bring 520 in the market. I thought it was more like middle to upper fours. So that's
so you're thinking 476 is fine.
That's what we came up with in our system.
Yep. That looks good to me.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. So do we need to make a motion to accept that then?
So actually what we've... So go ahead.
Do it at the end.
What were you going to say? Oh, yeah. Wait till the end. You guys hear them all now. Mm-hmm. And then the last meeting, we'll just approve all of them.
Okay.
In one motion there.
Next is number 4. This is 1976 155th Street, Waterbury. It is a rural acreage, 23 acres, 1,500 square foot house, Quonset, barn, shed, detached garage. Yeah, no real argument here.
I think we got other pictures.
Do you have other pictures?
Yeah, we got other pictures in there. There you go.
just the size of this acre, the 23 acres, I mean, there are no sales anywhere near anything below this number. I had no evidence to support a lower number. I probably had evidence to increase it, honestly, but it's equalized at the $224,985.
Which was a $3,000 increase, or less than $3,000 increase.
We've had a lot of this year, but just barely increases, and a lot of people are upset. It's like, really? Okay.
Again, 23 acres, that's...
You can't find anything.
You can't find that. That drives the price up right there.
Well, now an acreage, you're selling for $250 with just one or two acres.
Yeah,
I mean, and I had lesser houses on smaller acreage at higher numbers.
Yeah.
So just,
I'm good with that, too.
Yeah
that more seems than more than reasonable.
So is the 23 acres, is it flat? Has it got a bunch of trees on it? Has it got a creek running through it? Is it all usable? You know,
it's not ag.
It's not ag?
No.
It's not into the
no,
ag
it's
part
res.
Of it? So it's just a standalone 23 acres with a house and some barns on it?
Yeah.
Any livestock there?
Not that we saw.
Okay.
Looked like it had been sectioned off of a larger farm and stuff.
Sure.
Okay, number five is, this is 1005 Pine Street, South Sioux City. Split level, 1,100 square feet, finished basement, two-car, built-in garage. And, you know, these are the ones I definitely feel for. It's kind of the senior citizen. We're on a fixed income, don't raise my taxes. But the sales in this, by the high school there, of these split levels is absolutely
insane.
I have a bucket of sales I could have used to support a 270 or 280 value. At 229, honestly, it's
on the lower
probably
side.
On the low side. We just have a ton of sales over there.
You really didn't take it up much either.
No.
Because, we have, I mean, I gave one on G Street at 304,000 a split level. 3700 Oak Street is 265,000. It's like a block away from the house. 830 Ash Street, 285. And there's just the splits over there are just they are middle to upper twos.
Well, all those starter homes, you know, they're just have gone way out of
whack.
But it's the market. There's nothing available, so it just drives the price of all of them. So.
I think we've talked about this before. So when you take somebody's taxes, like from 223 to 229, what does that increase their total tax?
Not very much.
But see, now the...
But it's not hard to tell because...
It depends on what the levy does.
Levy might go down.
Well, the levy might go down.
So... Depends on how many... If values are increased a lot, and let's say the budget stayed relatively the same, the levy should technically go down. Their taxes.
So on somebody that just has a small increase like this, their taxes could go down.
Absolutely.
Very easily.
But like on this house here, are their taxes $1,500 a year? $2,500 a year?
I don't know.
It's on the yellow sheet.
It'd be up there.
One more up here.
One more up?
Yeah. That line right there, that top line under, go up a little bit further.
2700.
Yeah.
And there's
would that be South Sioux City and South Sioux City School District, which are both pretty high.
That's the majority of their taxes are going to be the first. It's going to be schools, then it's going to be the city. So you can actually see on that column. That's a historical view of the taxes over. Like Rick, if you wanted to see what our taxes have been. They're kind of hovering around that middle
2,000.
There's one, it was 3,000, but then it's come down a bit. But then, so that's the historical.
Yeah, so it's kind of leveled off for them a little bit. Dropped from 3 to 2.
I don't think she qualifies for homestead, does she? I don't know. She's the one that said she was taking care of a disabled child. I don't know if she qualifies or not.
Well, I guess we'll just leave it alone then. 229,765.
Yep. We're good.
Protest number 12 is, this is a vacant piece of land on the corner of First Street and John Street in Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it wasn't vacant last year.
There was a building there.
There was, yes, there was a building there. The protest was, the building was removed last year. There's no permit, though, so it's, you know, it's really hard to, you know, if you got 15,000 properties and then somebody removes something and doesn't tell anybody. But anyway, I went out there, looked at it. It's gone.
Definitely gone.
Mm. Yeah.
So we removed the, and that shed's gone,
that
too.
Shed's
I,
not there.
I thought that shed might still be there. But
nope, it's all gone.
Yeah. So went out there, I took a few new pictures. It is vacant. So we removed the improvement value, and it's just the land value, which is $20,375.
Sounds great to me.
Yep.
So that's a good reason for the protest. I know a lot of people get mad about the protest. This is a great reason why we can fix something that they didn't tell us about. You know, it's like, I'd love it to be right, and this is how we get it right. Number 13, this is 1889 140th Street in Jackson. Another huge acreage, 25 acres. And again, a rural acreage, not a farm or anything. We're talking about a split-level house and 1,400 farm. Square feet.
Is he farm? He's farm. He might be farm.
Is he farm?
He's farm.
At 25 acres?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. He's got a big building, a 90 by 54
yeah.
building.
Put him in grass.
Oh.
2 years ago.
Oh, that was nice of you. Well, 20, again, you know, from my seat, you know, I'm going like, wow, 25 acres and a house is valuable. And
it's got a huge Morton building.
It's 90 by 54.
You couldn't build the building for the total value of the property.
Yeah, and the 25 acres and a good-looking house and a big building, 314. I was, my comps were, yeah, over that. But, and again, the grass, so Christy and Melissa giving him grass on the 25 acres. It must be contiguous with the farm or something. Or
I think it's just all grass.
Oh, it's all yeah. grass. Okay. Then, I mean, so those, that's actually being reduced.
That's our lowest cost.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of dryer, irrigator, or whatever he's got. He's got some kind of
wildlife.
He, if he's the one, he's protested in the past. He had he said he planted it for wildlife. Mm. I think it was last year.
Last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, for the wildlife.
Some kind of conservation?
It's, I don't know if it's in a program, but that's what it says. Yeah, so we gave him grass.
Probably had some food plots or something out there. A little bit of it.
Could be. So we don't know.
But they,
from
mean,
the aerial, you can tell it's not being farmed.
Right. I guess that sounds about right to me, too.
Yeah, we said no change on that one at 314-410. And that's everything we have for you on the for the done protests.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Next is the consent agenda items, approval of the minutes from May 26th, and approval of the special meeting minutes from June 1st.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A and B.
Second.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
And under new business is approval of the cemetery report filed by the county assessor's office. This is an annual report that gets filed. Probably hasn't been any added or taken.
No.
No. It's per statute, it's supposed to be presented to the board and approved.
So move to approve the cemetery report.
Second.
Marty?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
All right. Next is the Christy Apps assessor requesting approval of over, undervalued, omitted clerical or tax list correction errors.
I got one tax roll correction for Shirley and I Guy, Gary.
Gary.
Yeah. Besides, the Department of Revenue changed it back to what it originally was. So that's all it is.
Motion to approve the tax list correction for Shirley Sides. Shirley and Gary Sides.
Second it.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
All right. Request to go into closed session to discuss pending litigation and tax equalization review commission cases 25C-541 and 542 Villas at Crystal Court versus Dakota County.
Make a motion to go into closed session to discuss the TURC cases 25C-541 and 25C-542.
Second.
All right. Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Okay. We gotta wait till she gets turned off.
We gotta wait. Okay. I'll make a motion to come out of closed session.
Second.
9:28. All right, Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, next is the board to approve or not approve to have the county attorney prepare confession of judgment in the TURC cases 25C-541 and 542 Villas at Crystal Court versus Dakota County.
So we're good on it. So to prepare the confession of judgment, that's just to get to change, right?
Yep. Basically, a motion to plead.
Okay. Then I'd make the motion to have the county attorney prepare confession judgment on cases 25C 541 and 25C 542.
I'd second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Anyone have any mail or emergency business? And there's no public comment unless Randy have anything to say.
Nope.
Okay, so the next Board of Equalization meeting is scheduled for July 6th, and it will start at 9 a.m., and there probably will be several more
mm-hmm.
in today.
Yeah.
And I will be out at that
one. Jeff will be gone. Okay.
Oh, Jesus, not 2025.
All right. I'll just close the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
All right.
So quote, I mean, yeah, you can quote a line out of Booyah.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's all I have to say.
We'll go ahead and get started with our meeting. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to excuse Brian.
Roll call, sir.
Yeah, you ready for roll?
Yep.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Here.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Here.
I'll make a motion for excuse Brian.
Second.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Our current copy of the Open the Meeting Act is posted on the north wall, on the table of the county board meeting room, and is available to review by all citizens in attendance. We'll start our meeting with public comment. So if there's anybody that wants to comment on anything that is not on today's agenda, now would be the time to do it. Amy?
Hey guys, Mike Carnes, Dakota County Star. And don't know if you saw it in that last week's paper, but I just wanted to let you guys know that the Dakota County Star's past history, and actually all of the past history of newspapers in Dakota County are now back at the library in South Sioux City. Just to kind of make a long story short, when the paper was sold back in the early 2000s to Blair, Blair people brought everything up to their business up there, and it stayed there through the transition from when it was sold to Jason Sturrock and then later to me. And I got a call about two months ago from the sports editor at one of their newspapers. I guess they're in the process of moving out of that building, and they were going to throw everything away, including all that history. And they called me up and said, you know, we're moving out of this building. You know, we've got all this stuff. Do you want it? And I was like, definitely, because, you know, that's obviously our history. That's the, you know, the South Sioux City's history. It's Dakota County's history. And so we were able to get up there. We had some help from the Wayne Herald newspaper. They provided a van for us to go up, head up there, and we brought everything back, and it is now at the South Sioux City Library. They're in the process of archiving everything. And so if you want to take a look at some past history of in one of the newspapers, it's up there. In fact, one of the cool things for me personally, I as we were going through the papers and loading them everything, there was this one booklet that was kind of separate from everybody else, and I happened to open it up, and it was the Gretna Guide and News from 2000 to 2002, and I was editor of the paper at that time. So I got some of my own history in the process too. So I've got that at home stored away for now. But that was kind of neat to go back and look at that history, especially because of the time frame. 2001, of course, 9/11 happened during that time. So it was kind of an interesting piece of history for me to go back and look at. So I'd let you know that if you're looking for something in Dakota County history in the newspaper. That's where you can go now.
Good deal.
Thanks, Mike.
Anybody else with any public comment? We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, June 8, 2026. Approval of payroll claims, June 7th through June 20th, 2025. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of account payable claims, and approval of official reports from the Register of Deeds, the County Clerk, and the Clerk of District Court. There's one item that we need to discuss just briefly. There was one in the accounts payable. Ricky came in earlier, and we had a little conversation about we pay the people that maintain the abandoned cemeteries, and it was just a discussion whether we pay them once a year or twice a year. You want to talk about that, Rick?
Well, I think we'd probably get a better job, maybe be more consistent if we didn't pay them all up front, you know. And basically, it's gas money for them, but we're paying them all up front, and then I've received some concerns that things ain't being taken care of. I just think if we pay them, they get $1,000, pay them $500, and then $500 at the end of the season. It'll make things better. So that's
your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Just for the one. No? I mean, because the other ones, you said don't bill till the end.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that came through the claims today.
Well, in two separate ones, in two separate $500 claims. So I did approve one of those.
Okay.
And I have one here that if we decide to do it that way, then we'll just have to contact them and explain we're going to do the other half at the end of the year.
Okay. Well, I make a motion to pay the $500 and then hold $500 back to the end of the mowing season and then pay it then.
Okay. Yeah. I'd second that.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yeah.
And other than that one item, payroll looked good, all the accounts payable, the register of deeds, the county clerk and the clerk of district court are all in your file. You had the ability to look at before, so everything appears to be in order.
Make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through E, with the exception of the one that we just did.
I'll second.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
New business and resolutions. Angela Epps, Nebraska Extension, Dakota County, to give her quarterly report.
Pass this around.
Oop, there you go.
And this is for the months of April, May, and June. So we're almost finished with June here. I guess probably just to share, you can see some of the items that are listed. I spent a lot of time in schools doing a lot of school enrichment lessons. One of the new things in Nebraska 4-H is called the foundational programs. So we have four different activities, and so I piloted two of them this spring semester, and then we'll be piloting the other two in the fall, and then we'll be hopefully getting in more classrooms. With the Ag Exciting Science, which is science lessons based off them learning about where their food supply comes from, as well as sharing the STEM engineering, which I know Rogelio helped me do with some of the engineering, the egg engineering experiment with our after-school kiddos with our leadership program. So that's something that will be happening, and it's kind of a fun thing to do. I know the Ag Exciting Science, the biggest part is teaching kids that brown cows do not make chocolate milk. They still, some of them think that. If they don't. And so it's just making sure kids understand where their food comes from. And so that was with Cardinal fourth graders that we were able to do some of those activities. And then again, there's just the additional stuff. I know Julie and I are both working at the Heartland Counseling this summer with working with kids at that program. And then we're also at the Y doing our Food Waste Loss Grant, which is teaching kids where their food comes from, and then finding out what they like and dislike and encouraging them to eat a variety of fruits and vegetables in that part. But you can kind of see some of the big highlights. And, of course, right now is the season as we're getting closer to County Fair. And I think you've all gotten the little flyer about the cookie jar contest.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're able to be there on the entry night to receive the winning jars, we'd appreciate, because we're in hopes of having a nice picture taken. So we might have to find Mike to get that taken care of. So, but yeah. Any questions at all as to activities that we've been busy doing?
Looks good.
Are you against the ground?
Do you have a question about something?
I have some, but we don't need to take up time here, but I have a couple questions if you'd stick around.
Okay, well, I've got a couple teams at the office
that I need to
go check on. Is there something?
I'll just give you a call.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we have our food waste loss teams working today because they have to get 35 hours in this summer in order to get their dollars that are coming from a grant to pay for their time. So,
how's the orchard doing?
I heard that things are going pretty good. Of course, the bunnies ate the bark, and so they've been working on getting new trees planted. I haven't heard how they're growing. We were planning to do an orchard program with the kindergartners in the spring, and then weather and the dates just never worked out, so we're planning the fall. So I will definitely get to go here and see. I know Carol Larvik is still volunteering with that project with the city. And she's been out of orchard almost every morning out there working.
The chamber hosted their coffee hour for Arbor Day there a couple weeks ago, last month. It looked pretty good.
Yeah,
they planted a tree that day.
It's nice there.
Yeah, if you haven't been out there, just ask, and we can definitely get you a tour of the orchard if you would like to see it. I know they had to replant over, I think, 150 trees in the space, and they were just starting to produce apples when the little bunnies got hungry. So.
And the community garden on the north end, the one in South Sioux, I know, is doing really well. Mm-hmm. Every time I can't find my wife, that's where she's at. So,
that's wonderful.
It's doing really well. And the one in the country I hear is doing good too.
Yep, and there's Extension is still involved with the food pantries as well that are still going on in since the Voices for Food project kind of shifted gears from our office a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we're still busy working there in that space.
Well, thanks for what you do.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. And Jeff, just let me know what right. you've got questions about, and we can get that handled. I'm going to go keep the teens on task.
Good luck.
Yeah, I know, it's hard. Luckily, they don't have their phones on them, so that's good. Thank right. you.
You bet, thank you. Yep. South Sioux City Chamber President to discuss their operating budget, Lori Warner from our South Sioux Chamber. Drum roll, please.
Hello.
So the first sheet that you're going to see there is just over the years, a comparison of the fiscal year. There's fiscal year and calendar year, so that way you can kind of see. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, and then after that we'll have the numbers for this past fiscal year. But this just gives you an overall view of what it's been like since we started the program in 1999 till now. And then on the back page, you'll see our proposed budget for the next fiscal year, which I know it's small, so I'm just going to highlight some of the changes. What we went off of is I did $252,000 as the actual money coming from lodging tax for next year, and I just took that off of kind of an average of what we've seen. We expect it's going to be more because we have really increased activities. But I wanted to be conservative on the budget. And then the additional income that you see is for Cinco de Mayo and if we brought back Cardinal Days. And the if is a question mark because I took it to the board and everybody knows how much work goes into an event like that. And when we had it in the past, before I left in 2016, it was a three-day event. And it was running us about $35,000 with our sponsorships and stuff. And as you know, things have increased since then, so that would probably be the bottom dollar, honestly, if we wanted to have a big three-day event again. What the board suggested is that we get an exploratory committee and have them get together and talk about it before we actually make a decision if we're going to have it or not. But I did include some money in it for next year just in case we go with that event. And then the other things that we added or changed, we did add in, there's a new magazine coming out called Destination Siouxland, and it will be done by Michael's Communication, who does the Sur magazine and the Siouxland Women magazine and some of those others that you see through the communities. And so that will be coming out in July or August, and it will be a 110-page book or approximately that in covering all of Siouxland. So we did put money in there to do an ad on Siouxland Freedom Park. It's actually going to be a two-page article on it, like how it started and how it's processed, you know, progressed and everything. And then another page will be in there talking about our lodge, what there is for lodging in the area, entertainment activities and different things in the Dakota County that will be on there. The other thing we added in was the dog statue. I don't know if you guys have heard me talk about it, but we went to MacArthur Steel, and they made us a prototype of a dog, and it's about like that. It's and the idea is that we're going to make it into a 4-foot-tall dog, and the approximate cost is $28,000. They're going to shave 5 off of it, so it brings it down to $23,000 as a sponsor. And then we already received one grant through Gilcrest for $5,000, and we just applied for another grant through Gardner. And the idea is they will go on Riverview Drive to lead to the dog park. So with the Marriott being right there and all the dog shows that we're doing every year, we just thought that would really be nice going down Riverview Drive in the middle. And then it would lead them to the dog park or to Marriott for the dog shows. So next year, we've already secured 4 national dog shows. The whole month of May is completely dog shows, every week, back to back. So we have, starting very beginning of May till the end of May, we have one every Sunday through Saturday. There's a dog show going on next year. And then they're looking at another one in September and possibly 2 in September of next year. So where we started from with promoting the dog shows and creating that niche for our community has gone so very well. So we, what we've done for this budget year is we backed off a little bit on the dog show promotion because we're doing so well with it, and we're actually taking that money and putting it towards gymnastics. We have the National Gymnastics for South Dakota State being held at the Marriott in December this year. Mm-hmm. 350 gymnasts will be there. And so we're going to go after more of those, and then dance and cheer, because those are also good things that we could bring here that would fit into what we have. So that's where our focus is going for this next cycle for our advertising. Those are the biggest things. And then trade shows. We are going to go to two, possibly three trade shows this fall. One's in Michigan that I'll be going to, and then another one is, I believe it's Pennsylvania, that Lisa will be going to with the Marriott.
Very good.
Any questions you guys have for me?
The one thing, one of the first things that I learned is that first time commissioner, I didn't understand what that we were just a pass through for that tourism dollars.
Right.
And as time has gone on, it's something that, you know, if you don't know what it is, you just don't see, you see it in your budget, you have no idea what it is. And even at our pink card meeting, I've been yelled at before because we're spending that money. You have to explain right. It's just a pass through.
Yes, exactly. So. And even something that's been difficult is if you're aware of Explore Siouxland. So Explore Siouxland was created in 2019, and they marketed themselves as Iowa, Nebraska, South Dakota group, and so they want money from us. Well, I showed them what Nebraska has to do with their lodging tax versus what Iowa does with theirs, and I put them side by side and showed them, and then they're like, oh, we had no idea. Nebraska is almost one of the strictest states on how this money can be used, and we have to be able to prove that it's being used for heads on beds. Whereas Iowa, they can actually have 50% go into the Sioux City fund. So it just goes right into Sioux City's budget, and they spend it how they want to. And then another portion of it actually goes to the Tyson Center, to their event centers to help run them. Mm. And then only a very small portion goes to Explore Siouxland. And so explaining the difference to them, and I had to lay it out and show them, and yeah. I probably did it 3 or 4 times because they still just weren't catching on to it because it's so different.
Yeah.
And then once I showed them side by side how it is, then they understood better. For it. So we can spend it with the regional marketing, but a small amount. Otherwise, I have to be able to show that we're putting heads on beds with that money.
Very good.
Okay. Any other questions? Anything? Okay. Well, my door is always open. Lisa works for us part-time. You can either contact myself or Lisa and if you have any questions regarding the budget or any projects or anything.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lori.
LEC replacing dispatch council furniture. Project requesting county board approval for LEC interlocal agreement using set-aside funds. Somebody want to come give us a 50-cent overview?
I'm Tracy Ellinger from LEC. The current desks we have are extremely old and basically in disrepair. We did have some photos that I didn't grab, but the underneath braces are all broken on them. They're supposed to have hydraulics so that because they're used 24/7, 365, each dispatcher can put it to their comfort level. One of them stuck with the keyboard up here and the monitors down here and all kinds of wrist and neck issues going on. The file cabinets that are attached to them are broken. If you walk by them just right, you catch your pants on them and rip them. So the new ones are going to be nicer, and I think Jasper's the only one that came and looked at them when we had them, but we did have one of the LEC board members come look at them. Their parts are warrantied for 10 years, are the parts that Watson actually makes. Any questions about them?
Any relation to our Watson there? We're just wondering if we get a discount.
I wish.
And what did we decide? The old ones are 15 years old?
Yeah, we're thinking 15
so,
plus.
Yeah. It's time. And we're doing good. Like I said, there's money set aside in there. We're only replacing 3 of the 4. The fourth one doesn't get used very much and is still viable, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the other 3 are used heavily. So it's time.
Everybody knew that day was coming.
And stuff doesn't last forever. So the LEC board approved it.
Do we need to approve it also then as...
I think.
Yeah, because I think the city council, it goes to the city council tonight as well.
Okay.
I'd make motion to approve the purchase for the new furniture for the LEC.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
That wasn't so bad.
No, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
thanks,
thank you. Approve Dakota Dixon interlocal agreement to share veteran service officer for a period of July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. Nick he services both counties. We have an interlocal agreement with them. A portion of his wages are paid through Dixon County, and this is just acknowledging that we're going to continue that for the next coming year.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Board to designate working with NACO MIPS to facilitate the printing and mailing of the joint public hearing LB 644 postcard required to notify taxpayers for subdivisions having a tax request exceeding the assessor's generated allowable growth, better known as the pink card.
Yes. Should be the last year we have to do this.
Oh, really?
The state will pick up the tab.
Oh, for printing the cards?
Yep.
Okay, very good.
So that's just one thing.
Small price.
And they're moving it. It'll be shifted. Everybody will basically get them, and it'll be shifted to earlier in the budget process. So you might actually have somewhat of a say in it, or at least have a better education of the budget process rather than when this happens, everything's pretty well set, done, and...
And it's, you know, we've had years where they've shown up two or three days before the hearing, you know. So if it was done earlier in the process, it would definitely be better.
I'd make the motion to approve NACO MIPS to facilitate the pink postcards.
I'd second that.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes. You never know, we might change the order.
What?
Sheriff Dector requesting board approval to purchase two new vehicles, 2025 Police Interceptor Utility Vehicle and a 2026 Chevy Tahoe, and to approve accounts payable claim for these to come out of the current year's budget.
Yep. Should have got the two bids or invoices or whatever you want to call them. Trade-in for one, the Durango was $7,000 and trade-in for the Chevy pickup was $17,000. So took a little bit off the price on both vehicles. And then the invoice for the equipment.
So you have not purchased any vehicles this calendar year to this point, is that right?
Yes.
You said you're trading in the Durango on the Tahoe. What year is the Durango?
2019, I think, or 100 miles, yeah. And the pickup had 107 or 8, something like that.
And what year is that?
What year is the pickup?
22. I'm not sure. I think I saw that somewhere.
Is that the top one right here? Trade-in confirmation right under Husker Auto Group?
Yeah, it went to Husker.
Right below the black square.
Yeah, 2022. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. 115,000 miles ahead. 116.
Are you going to be purchasing any additional vehicles then? Because normally... A lot of times, you guys do it out of your regular budget.
Out of our regular budget, we probably will need, we need to purchase three vehicles every year
to maintain that 5-year rotation and probably a fourth vehicle every couple of years. So this year, with money left over in the budget, it seems to make sense to pay for them this way. And yeah, we could purchase some more vehicles. We've got a couple other trucks that have 100 plus thousand miles on them already. So
last year we did a lot of that, and then when it was time to make up our budget, our receipts were not near what they thought we were, and we had to take $800,000 out of inheritance to start a budget, to get back to ground zero. But we've kind of been tracking a little bit how they're coming in. It is a little bit behind. It's not as bad as last year. So just whatever the board thinks as far as doing this.
The pickup, you know, you're talking about that 5-year rotation. This one would be a little early on that 5 years.
We talked about it a long time ago, me and Joan, about doing 100,000 miles in 5 years. It's about at 100,000 miles, all of our vehicles go out of warranty, about $15,000 to put a new engine in it. So we get a 5-year, 100,000 mile powertrain warranty on all our fleet vehicles. So at 100,000 miles, we start eating the cost on anything. And I believe that one's got issues with the transmission already, so that's why we pulled that one. But yeah, transmissions are $5,000 right. Or more. Mm-hmm.
And then there's additional costs on both of these to transfer everything over.
That's in the invoice for Grove Electronics.
And the destination fees, do they actually bring them to you then?
Success.
Destination fees? Oh.
No, we go pick them up. That's the...
Oh, to get them to the dealership.
You can fight them all you want on that. There's always fees. And I mean, they're still lower. I wish I could buy a truck at that price. Mm-hmm. I'd probably have a new truck, but...
And you're plenty far under to make that decision.
Yep.
We talked about horses this morning.
Yeah.
And because you got the straw hats now.
Right. We could get horses if that's what you want. Probably going to need stables. But sure.
Can you get all the fertilizer?
I'll need a bigger horse. But.
We're not getting you a Shetland, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little bit bigger one. I might need a draft horse.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have to brand the horses, too?
I don't know. It's going to be up to the board whether we buy them ourselves or if they're county. But, hey, we can race them when they're...
Yeah, they're on their days off.
Yeah, days off, we can race them. So.
Pay for themselves in no time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to doing this. And, again, keeping a really close eye on this year. And then we know going forward next year if we're kind of in that same hole, then we can look at it then. But they build a couple into their budget, too. And they haven't used those, so I would be in favor. I would make the motion to purchase the two vehicles.
I'd say.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet. Board to approve gravel hauling contract with J.R. Anderson Trucking Incorporated.
Hello. So this is a new guy kind of by Hayward, and he's trying to get his name out there, doing it very cheap compared to, I think Boyer charges us $14.25, and I think Rody's bid was around $15 to $20, depending on where we got it, but $15 from the Boyer. I would say go ahead and approve this on the condition that I get his certificate of insurance. Because I do not have that yet, so.
So will they bring it in a dump truck or in a side dump?
I guess I did not ask him.
Okay. Not that it really matters. I was just wondering how many ton they could haul.
Yeah.
And they're just stockpiling, hauling into the stockpile.
Yep,
they're not going to do any spreading.
Nope. Just bringing it to us.
Then you have a certain amount built into your budget for third party.
Like last year, we had Oban.
and Boyer haul in, and I think we had them each do 20 loads. Mm-hmm. You know, with this price, we could have a couple, you know, him do some. And
yeah, if he's cheaper than everybody else by ways, I just have him do it.
And this one's nice because it's hay warden. I mean, and that's where we're, the stuff that we really like right now is coming out of.
Yep.
I'd make a motion to approve the Anderson Trucking bid with the contingency on the certificate of insurance.
I second that.
Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
County Treasurer's Office requesting Board Approval of Resolution 26C-011, releasing two pledged securities. First question, what are you doing with the money? No, but as you get it spent, then we're just releasing it.
Yeah, we're just releasing it because we don't need the security on it at the present moment.
All right, I'll make a motion to release 26C-011.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
I'll second.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. Jolene with our road report.
Okay, we had 235.5 hours maintaining, 51 hours out on M Avenue. Has anybody been out there to see the paving?
Yep.
We did some work on that first portion there from the bridge to 203rd on the ditches. So we went out and seeded it, put blankets down, rock chucks, hoping to slow that water down. So.
Yep, I saw that the city has their seeding done too, so everything looks really good, really cleaned up out there.
Yeah, did a culvert on Perry, 17 hours on the magnets, 126.5 hours hauling in gravel. We hauled just under 230 ton out on the road and about 850 into the yard, 17 hours on signs, 42 hours on spraying, and a grading concern on L Avenue. After claims, we were able to put $208,800 down on the tractor, so the bond, we'll get that paperwork together for about the $53,000, whatever was remaining on that, so that worked out good. The gentleman that was here last time, I guess I don't, about the concerns on 142nd Street.
We're still working.
Still working on that? Okay. I just wanted to have something in case he could call. So other than that, I don't have.
I did talk to a guy again on north of Jackson with another bucket full of, I know we can run the magnet out there more. But again, I looked at everything, and it's not rebar pieces. It's not anything that would be used that would be coming from crushed concrete. There's just old farm sites out there and stuff, and when they get graded up, it does. So I just easy answer, but it continues to come for sure. And
yeah, I mean, he does it, and he shows his pictures, and we go out a week later, and we got just as much. I mean, it's just I wish we could constantly have somebody out there doing that, but.
Mm-hmm. Just keeps working its way up.
Yeah, it does. And then on July 20th agenda, I'm going to have Chad Kirk come in and discuss what we can be doing with North Bluff Road from Highway 20 to 170th Street. It's about halfway point. It's getting pretty beat up. I asked Nirma if we could load post it to keep all them trucks off, and he's digging around for something that might be able to help us because it's just getting destroyed.
Are you going to have Ronnie Gill come in there or somebody do replace some of those panels? Because
they're bad. They're getting really bad. You know, and then that's part of the discussion that we'll have with Chad. You know, are we going to keep throwing money into it or just try and get something done?
We've gone about $100,000 a year for the last 3 years, but it doesn't feel like we're still keeping up with it. So, I mean, that would be a giant elephant to eat trying to do that road, but it may come down to that because, you know, you try to keep truck traffic off that, and 75% of that traffic is truck traffic because everybody's doing a cut across the ethanol plant. So, when the highway was originally made or the road was originally made, that wasn't the thought, but that's just the way it is now.
Yeah.
That's where it's at. And then with the stoplight at that bridge right outside of Hubbard, the traffic gets bunched up. They all turn on the bluff road because they don't want to keep going down 35. And then you can just see just a cat and mouse all the way down that road, everybody trying to pass each other. It's not fun. So
that's where we could use some of those speed signs.
Yeah, and we have one out there. Maybe we get one back out there again. Yeah.
There's one out there not too long ago.
Yeah, so
Mike's got the record.
But anyway, so yeah, hopefully he can have a little presentation put together.
I said tilt.
Why can't they lower the weight limit and eliminate something?
Because they said that's mostly seasonal. So he's looking. I asked if there was like a emergency. Because it's just destroying the road. And he was going to get back to me and see if there's something we can do.
But then that should be on us to fix the road.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to fix it regardless, but to keep.
Yeah.
I mean, we're an ag community.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're an ag community.
You know, that ethanol plant brings in a lot of revenue, taxes and everything. Like,
and it keeps corn prices up for the local farmers, too, point.
We need to fix the road.
Yeah, so he kind of threw out a number at the budget, about $2.5 million. That was for that first 2 miles, so.
Tell him if you can do the whole thing for that, we're in.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And it does need shoulders, too.
That was another thing.
That was totally screwed up from the get-go. That road.
It was a different time, though, too.
It was with a grant, and there was, I think that was one that was going to the metric system or something, and so they actually had to block off their paver. It would have been cheaper to make it wider, but they couldn't. They wouldn't let them do it. They had to block off their paver. And it was a pain for them to do it, and it's like I said, it was a screwed up project to begin with.
So I'm hoping Chad will come with numbers, what it's going to cost to continually just maintenance the way it is, completely redo it, or overlay it and add shoulders. But then some of them spots adding shoulders, he's like, that's not going to be cheap because some of it just drops off. We're going to have to build that up. I mean, we got to do it.
In some of our bad spots. We've had water issues underneath the road too, and I don't think any of that was addressed. You know,
we've repaired the things that we've repaired originally. But yeah, he talked about adding in the drain tile. So, yeah,
I don't know how close we are to getting a few things falling off our bonded indebtedness, but we can take a look at that too, see.
Just made the last payment this month on Veterans Drive.
So there, and then like you pointed out at the budget meetings, we can do it 20 years now. I hate to do that, but we can't keep
Ken bond for 20 years.
We've already got $500,000 in repairs on that road. We're just band-aiding it. So anyway.
It was 6 years ago, I'd say it'd be a no-brainer when interest was cheap and everything else. But
again, they do a pretty good job of shopping the interest down when it does go down. So we can
refinancing that stuff for us. So anyway, keep that in mind for July 20th. I think I said January 20th, didn't I? No, you actually said July.
You said July.
I said July. Okay, July 20th. Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Commissioner Committee Reports.
We had the LEC, which the big item on that was the desk.
We got the planning and zoning. We're going to work on some light ordinances. So we're getting quite a few lights around the country that shine into other people's properties and cause issues. So we're going to see if we can get some written up and adopted.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of communities have, so.
Yeah.
Area Agency on Aging has a new executive director who started today. It's her first day, so she'll be shadowing with our current director who is retiring in September. And then if you all are interested, on Wednesday, one of the candidates running for Attorney General will be here at the Don's to do like a meet and greet from noon to 1.
Mail and emergency business.
None.
Nothing?
Nope.
Nothing. Brian, did you have something you wanted to add?
Make motion adjourned.
Where is he when we need him?